Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right. Defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. We won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand out against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Yes, we most certainly do love our land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, the co-host and the producer of the show this evening is our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. the Red Fox tonight... a new nickname, and I know she's been out and about by the sounds of it, is Motorcycle Girl. So welcome, Kel, to the show this evening. I bet your legs ache.
Hi, Jeff.
Good
evening,
Kel.
I'm in high spirits. My bicycle is all tuned up and ready to go, and I did a little touring earlier today on it, and I'm looking forward to hitting
Woo-hoo!
Those bike trails. Woohoo! Yay!
Yeah, go! There you go. So you got your bell all your ring a ding a ding sorted.
I got a little bell on my bike. Ding.
Well, ring a ding ding, girl.
Yep, because we share the bike paths, we share the walking paths with joggers and people walking their dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just polite when you're cycling. I like to go full bore when I'm on my bike.
Full bore.
But of course, I slow down when there's people about. But it's just polite.
Well, you normally
to
do
slow
if you're
down
to run over to yourself.
No, it's polite. You slow down and you ring your little bell, ding, 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 and people just—they don't even look behind them. They just know
there's
to move over.
There's a song
that
goes with that. You mind, Kel? I love to ride my bicycle. I love to ride my bike.
I love to ride my bike.
Ride my bicycle. You go. Oh, we're very musical tonight. We were singing a song, ladies and gentlemen. We were singing before we come to the into the studio itself tonight.
We were
well,
singing
I was
again.
Anyway. Yes. Anyway, Kel, it's good to have you here anyway this evening. And it seems like you're all primed
Great
and ready
to be
to,
here,
go trekking on your trusty bike of yours, and I'm sure your hubby as well. But we also, ladies and gentlemen, we've got our panel this evening. And the first gentleman I'm going to invite into the studio this evening is our very own, Agador. And tonight, Kel's put a little, his nickname tonight is Furface. So with that, let me welcome in Agador, Mr. Furface. Good to have you here, sir. And welcome.
Hi, Agador.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and hello, Kel. My whiskers brush the microphone in greeting to the both of you, and looking forward to a very, very nice show. We're actually beginning to see summer here in Vermont, and hope, and it sounds like the enough snow has melted in Canada to where Kelly can actually ride her bike. So I'm very happy
it
about that.
It is about time. And I can wear my shorts too now. Yay!
Woohoo!
I'm so sick of this winter garb.
Some of our listeners get very excited to think you're going to wear your shorts now. Stop it, girl. I know someone who might do
she
as well.
She wears shorts.
You wear shorts. Ladies and gentlemen, also a part of our panel and a part of our team tonight is our very own Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton. He's coming here very stealth-like once again this evening. And his nickname tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Cataroma. That's an interesting one as well.
Ooh.
Good evening, Tim. Good to have you.
Cataroma, right?
Hi, Tim.
Good evening. Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Kel. Good evening, Agador. And I must apologize because I just realized I've logged into the show as RFB Radio Well, and it wasn't my intention. I should have logged out and logged back in as Cat Strangler. So apologies for that.
And Jeff, I muted you. Sweetie, we're getting an echo from your line.
Well, you certainly have muted him,
no.
Kel. He's disappeared off the face of the earth.
Not the mute of death, Kel. Not the mute of death.
And I heard a beep. What the heck's going on here?
And a beep, yes. That's probably me beeping. It's a self-muted thing.
We're getting really bad feedback on that.
Okay, hold your fuzzy show last night, and we're getting all this NSA stuff. I swear, the aliens are going to land next.
Well, I'll see them outside,
okay.
Actually. I'll be back, Kel. Have you still got this echo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, be right back.
Oh, yeah.
Take it away, guys.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the EDO radio program, and your host is Jeff Mitchell. I am the co-host and producer. I'm Cal Fritzy, and the panelists this evening, as they always are, is Agador and Cat Strangler 101. Agador is the unpleasant blind guy, and Cat Strangler 101, of course, is our very own Tim Burton. And while we're waiting for Jeff to call back in, I am going to entertain you by singing and dancing.
Yeah, well, I mean, let me tell you, you know, juggling those skills doesn't work well on radio, Kel, so if you could just stick to the singing, that'll be absolutely great.
Oh, I know. When Jeff disappears, it's kind of like, he's back.
I'm listening, Kel.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you. While the cat's away, the mouse will play, so they say, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're right, Jeff. While you were away, nobody mentioned spiders once. Not once.
No.
So
although we wanted to.
It, Tim, when I'm about. Thank you, Tim.
Jeff, have you seen the spies for today's show?
Oh, my goodness, mate. No, I'm quite...
That's a very festive one, by the way, Cal. Well done.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Agador. Paul Alexander sent you a very special slide, Jeff, that I put in.
Paul, what are you like?
I know
it's got to be a spider, Paul. You, this is Kelly. You're encouraging everybody, Kelly. I'm just looking now. Actually.
You know what? I have more slides of spiders now than I do of a jihadist.
That's amazing, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, can you believe it? This poor, humble host here has been besieged
by spiders.
just to let you guys know, on a seriousness, we may have Michael Green calling in at some point this evening. I was speaking to him on Facebook, and he did say that he might call in, and he might have some information about a news topic this week, which was to do with the exchange of five Taliban prisoners from Guantanamo Bay for one American soldier.
Right.
So we might have Michael with some insights on that story.
That'll be fascinating.
So I'm just letting you know, if he calls in, just to expect him, that's all. So back to you guys.
That was held for 5 years.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that is Spider Day, Jeff. I've just seen this slide. Thank you, Paul. Sorry, God. It's horrible. It's pretty colour, though. I've got to admit. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kel laughing in the background, that evil laugh. That sort of a laugh it is. I'll get by. So, yeah, as I say, the title of the show tonight is English Defence League Radio, All They Do Is Yell. And we are talking about, of course, the Muslims. And there is a story behind this. I know there is, because it's got to be, because they're always yelling about something. Once again, they've been procured as being, you know, the innocent ones and everybody else around. It's all everybody else. But it does seem to be a part and parcel of this ideology, this cult of theirs, doesn't it, Kel? It certainly does.
Well, I themed it this way tonight, Jeff, because I'm getting a little sick and tired of the whining and the whinging and complaining. And I notice that they're becoming much more militant, especially since 9/11. You know, I wouldn't know a Muslim if one bit me on the ass pre-9/11.
Well, you don't want to bite you because you'd have to have a tetanus after that, Kelpie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would. I'm getting a little fed up with the militancy, like I say, and that they're monopolizing our Western political system, our courtrooms, our they're monopolizing our schools. They're monopolizing our social centers. They are front groups for Muslim Brotherhood. Nobody's doing anything about it. And, of course, we defer to people like Garrett Wilders and Dr. Terry Jones and Dr. Bill Warner, and that we appreciate their hard work that they do in the counter-jihadist movement. But whenever they speak out and they speak truth, what happens is that the Muslims get up in arms and they start yelling and waving their arms. For example, when Dr. Terry Jones, and that is the Florida pastor, ladies and gentlemen, remember September of 2013, he was going to burn those Korans to commemorate 9/11. He hadn't even burned them. And there was whining and complaining and bitching and moaning and rioting in the streets of Afghanistan. So I thought that...
And murdering.
They all yelled,
Jeff. Murdering, yes. Yes.
Why is that? How come they never shut the hell up?
Well, it's because, you know, they're like a screaming, rabid pack of animals. It was once said a long time ago, the Mohammedan in a Muslim is like that of a hydrophobic dog. And that is exactly what it is. What we see before us is the same effect. What Winston Churchill said 100 years plus ago still stands today as it did then. Nothing has changed whatsoever. Whatsoever. It's just a pity that we didn't at the time. You know, we've had 100 years to mould this over and to put it in its place. It needs to be put back in its place and not allowed to get out. Once it escaped, once it does what it's been doing, and it's infested the world, let's call it what it is. It's an infestation of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing more, nothing less. That is what we see before us. And what do we do with rabid animals? In the end, you've got to do the right thing. So there you go. But it's got to be spoke about. When the people say, oh, that's a little bit extreme. Well, we have to be bloody extreme because they want to kill us. We've got to be more firm with these people instead of pandering to them. We've got to show them if they come at us and try to kill us or our families that they will feel the whole benefit of what we can stir up with them. So I'm getting angry because, Kel, it's only right. Because I get fed up with these politicians bending over backwards to appease these people that have got nothing on their mind but evil intentions towards myself, you, and the rest of the free world. The free world is Islam's enemy, ladies and gentlemen. That is the point. Oh, has someone just dropped off there? Did I throw someone away? Did I frighten someone away?
No, you're doing great. But here, you know what? This is what I'm talking about. When I brought up Dr. Terry Jones, this is what happened in Afghanistan. And that was because they thought that a Koran would be burnt, Jeff.
Yeah. And I think there's about 6 or 7 international monitors or something were slaughtered. And what was the guy's name? The Blue Caps. They were slaughtered, wasn't they, Kel? Just so that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. They've got no. The thing about it is they don't care about human life and that. So there is we mean nothing to them. The goal is for themselves to try to destroy ourselves, the infidel, the kufar, who they call us. We're lower than them, you know. This is it. The way they look at us, they look down their noses at us. They think they're better than me. They think they're better than you. And this is what makes it so difficult, isn't it, Kel? That we know our enemy. It's a true enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever they say, Islam is your enemy. It is our sworn enemy. Yes, some of them might say, yes, sir, we mean no, please, no. But I guarantee, once the numbers are there, that they'll be coming to your home and slaughtering you and your families. That is a guarantee. Look around the world, ladies and gentlemen. People lived in peace with each other, with the Muslims and the Christians, and all of a sudden they started to get hold. And what happens? Total annihilation of the Christians and the Jews around them. This is what we see. Thank you, Kel, for that clip. See, it's right to bring into a proper perspective to what we talk about on these shows, isn't it? And yes,
absolutely.
I'm being a little bit, a little bit angry towards these people tonight, because I don't like people trying to kill my families, your family, or any other people, just because to make their calls for Islam. You know, I get the ump over that, Kel. I really do. But anyway, Kel, I'm really going free tonight.
Absolutely. I'm going into the green room, so I'm going to pass the mic back to you, and maybe we got Cat Strangler back, by the way, and you and Agador want to have an exchange and then pass it to Cat Strangler. I'll be back in a sec.
Okay, thank you, Kel. Agador, yeah, I can't. Sometimes I, you know, when we start talking about these things, it does make me very angry. And the way that we got to put things into proper perspective instead of beating around the bush with these people who are trying to cause us so many problems in the world. I don't know if you agree with my sentiment. Maybe I might be a little bit gone a bit over the top tonight. But it's just the way that I've seen things in this world at this moment in time. Back to you, eh?
All right. Well, I hate to sound like someone who gave a speech about another group years and years ago, but it really does seem to me that what you get in these situations is when Islamists don't get what they want by taqiyya or other subterfuge type means, they go immediately to the group equivalent of tantrum behavior. I mean, there's not a lot of difference between a kid in a supermarket whose mother won't give them a chocolate bar or something like that, rolling around on the floor and screaming and making a big scene, and these people going out on the streets and rioting. The only real major difference is people actually get hurt and killed when Islamists do it. It sort of brings to my mind the feeling, and I don't know how Tim will feel about this, but the feeling that in a lot of ways, Islam is very, very childlike in a malevolent sort of way. And I'd like to get Tim's feeling on this, if we could.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Agador. Sorry to butt in on you there, Jeff.
No, it's all right. I was going to introduce you in on it there, Tim. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I dropped out of the chat room and came back in my Cat Strangler incarnation with my orange and white cat suit, so I hope it's not too bright for people. Agador's absolutely right, and it's an analogy that I have used before, which is Islam is very much like the child in the supermarket that can't get its own way and resorts to having a tantrum. And the problem is that what we've tended to do in the West is to appease Muslims who indulge in that sort of behavior. And everybody knows, of course, that if you appease a two-year-old child who's having a tantrum in a supermarket, then all you do is reinforce that behavior. And they on doing it until they make themselves such a bloody nuisance that nobody wants to interact with them anymore. And that's what's happening with Islam and Muslims at the moment, is that people are just getting totally sick of the fact that whenever they can't get their own way, Muslims resort to tantrums, which are not just like ordinary tantrums, as Agador says. They result in people getting killed. And it's consequently, nobody wants to have anything to do with Muslims when they behave like that. The proper thing to do with them is to, metaphorically speaking, put them in a corner until they learn how to behave. And in the case of a malicious and pernicious political ideology like Islam, putting them in a corner means not allowing them to interact with civilized human beings until they have learned how to behave. Now, which might take 1, 2, 3 generations. It might take 100 years. And there is really no excuse for Islam doing what it's doing. And we just have to stand up to it and say, we're not going to take that anymore. And if you can't behave like civilized people in a civilized society, then we don't want you here. And you can take your political ideology and shove it up your
ass. And your camels.
And
stuff them up your ass.
Yeah. So that's my answer to that, Agador.
All right. Well, and may I suggest, Jeff, before I throw it back to you, may I suggest that if putting them in the corner, so to speak, doesn't matter or doesn't seem to be effective, it might be time for a symbolic spanking.
Well, yes. Do you know what? I would agree with you there. You know, we're not one for violence as such, but sometimes in the case of these very spoiled children, like type people, maybe that is what they need. You spare the rod, you spare the child, is the old saying. And with these people, that's for sure. And you know, that maybe, as what you said, what we're saying was that it could be the whole point of the of what how we deal with the situation, because it is really quickly becoming out of control around Europe, around the world. This situation, and I think it needs a firm hand to be taken with these people to put them back in their place. That's, you know, this is just an observant the way that I'm looking. I'm not speaking on behalf of the English Defence League as a whole. I'm talking as an individual person, as how I see things should be, and what needs to be done. At least I got balls to actually speak about these things, not like our politicians. We, myself, you, Tim, and many of us, who puts our lives on the line because we speak about this cult. It doesn't really matter as long as we get the message out there that we will not accept this crap in our societies, in our nations. We're not going to put up with it no more, as you said. It's just unacceptable. Unacceptable. So thank you, Agador, for bringing that point. And Kevin, I don't know whether are you back yet? Carl, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I'm back.
We had got a caller that we was going to take. Aren't we, Kel? Is it all teed up? Is it ready to go, the call? Is it?
Michael Green is joining us from the United States tonight.
Oh, absolutely awesome. So should I think I'll bring this gentleman in now? Right. Good evening, Mr. Greg Michael Green. It's always a pleasure to see you and have you back on the show. And welcome to the English Defence League radio show this evening. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for having me back on. It's great to speak to everyone. Hello there, Tim Burton. And
hiya,
Kel.
Michael. Hiya, Michael.
How are you, my good friend?
I'm very good. What about
and
you?
And Igor.
Hello there.
Hello there. And, of course, the chief EDL officiator here would be our great host, Jeff.
Thank you. Yep.
Hi, Michael. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Well, yeah,
it's wonderful to be on. It's great to be on the airwaves of the premier Counter Jihad radio program. Well, thank you, Michael. As I say, it's always a great honor and a privilege to have you back on our shows. Like it was a couple of weeks ago because there was a little break because we hadn't heard from you for a little while. But it's so good to have you back again. So there's some things you wanted to discuss tonight on the show. Am I right, Michael? Because there's some interesting things that we want to discuss.
Yes, there's a particular story out in the news today. It came out yesterday. It's getting a lot of attention. There's an American soldier named Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who in 2009 was taken captive by the Taliban in Afghanistan. And there's been a big movement in the United States to get him released. But there's some important facts and aspects of how the Taliban actually got a hold of him that I think need to be shared. Some of you may know it already. Mm-hmm. And through some of my sources in the U.S. Army that will go unnamed, and it's also kind of out there in the news or in certain websites, people who are writing stories about this, he wasn't captured on a mission. He walked off the base. And that is called desertion. He had sent several email communications to his family back home in Idaho indicating his discontent with the war, his time in the Army, and he didn't seem very stable. He even shipped home some of his uniforms in a box and other personal items that were sent to his family. This is all prior, leading up to the time that he actually walked off base. And his intention was to walk over the mountains into Pakistan, quite an arduous task, to say the least. So the idea that he's some type of hero, we have to dispel that immediately. He's actually a deserter. And at one time in America, if you were serving in the United States military and you deserted at a time of war, you were be summarily shot before a firing squad. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that at this moment. So if any of his supporters are listening, don't get all upset yet. But I think more important and relevant to this program and the counter-jihad movement is the fact that five hardcore homicidal murderous Taliban jihadists were exchanged for him, which I find to be disgraceful. And if we do some research on these five characters, two of them are actually wanted for war crimes, for mass killings in Afghanistan going back a number of years. All five of them have direct affiliations and connections and dealings with Al-Qaeda. So these are some pretty dangerous characters that were in Guantanamo, that nice country club where President Bush sent a lot of these lowlifes. And so now we have five hardcore, very experienced, very well-connected jihadists out there back in circulation. And what do you think? You think they'll go back to their former occupation?
That's a very good point, and probably yes is the answer to that.
Yeah, it's a resounding yes. Absolutely they will. You know, the irony that I see, and it could happen, we may never know, they could actually be responsible for the deaths of other American or coalition forces that are still in Afghanistan. And the idea that they were put back into that situation and they could directly or indirectly facilitate the death of any of our people over there, just so this deserter could get some freedom, is very disturbing. I'll share with you quickly.
Go ahead, yeah. Michael. It's okay.
I'll share with you quickly a few things that he said in some of his communications. He said the U.S. Army was a joke to the world. They're laughing at it. It's an army of liars, fools, bullies. So he's making some pretty derogatory statements about the army that he's serving and wearing the uniform of our army, and he's sending this back to his parents in Idaho in the United States, and basically saying he wants to get out of the army. And he even says some very derogatory things about America in general. Of course, as American, I find that pretty offensive. He said America is a disgusting nation. So these are the things that happened before he walked off base, and I wandered out there into the night sky of Afghanistan, and then these savages got a hold of him. It's also understood that he converted to Islam. So Robert Spencer has at his website, Jihad Watch Today, he makes reference to this army soldier. He actually identifies him as a Muslim. Now, if that's the case, it's even worse, because he'll just be doing some dawah. He'll be spreading this wonderful so-called religion. You know, what will be interesting in America to see, will, because he's still active duty, will he be taken to task and brought up on charges for, you know, deserting, walking away from his post and his fellow soldiers? Or is he going to be given a hero's welcome?
Well, the world that we live in this moment, I would say the latter, because we live in some very strange times, Mike, and I think you would agree that everything that we believe is not the way that it seems to turn out. And who's to say that they wouldn't look at him as some sort of hero? I look at him as a total anti-hero, totally against his country and his nation, a traitor, high treason at the highest. I look at people in that way, people that don't serve my country, that doesn't serve your country, and talks about the country in the way that they do. As you say, could cause the death of some of their soldiers and military because of the talk and that, the way that some of these people do. They should be brought to charge. They should be. Be put in front of a firing squad. People should be done for that. You know, that's the way I look at it. But that's my own individual way I look at it. But I would say that the world we live in at this moment in time, the latter, Michael, on that question that you put up there. Maybe the panel might have a little bit different view there. would you mind if I took it up a little bit, Michael, if I just ask the panel as well how they view that?
Yes, I'd like to hear their thoughts.
Let me see. Who should I go for first? I'm going to ask Agador. Agador, your view of what we've just been discussing there. It'd be great to hear with you. You know, you're an American yourself, my friend.
All right. Well, since this happened, a whole lot has been said. A whole lot has come out from a whole lot of sources. None of it official, of course, and I don't think anyone here really trusts the officials, but that does have to be brought into account. A whole lot of things have been said by a whole lot of people, and frankly, at this moment, I'm not taking anything for granted as to this guy's character. The only conclusion that I'm prepared to make at this point is that call this man a hero, call him a traitor, call him whatever you want. I think that's a discussion for later when we know more. It was not a good deal to trade five of these jihadis for this one prisoner. Now, Lady Michelle in the chat room has asked, well, you know, why is he still alive? And I answer that by saying that this is a classic thing that Islamists do when they get hold of one of our people. They love to use them as pawns. I mean, look at Pastor Abedini. Look at the hostages in Iran in 1979. They will use these to tweak the West, twist emotions, cause dissent, do all the sorts of things that they do using these people as pawns. So I'm not prepared at this moment to call the soldier a traitor, nor am I prepared to call him a hero, because there are too many things coming in from too many sources. I want more information before I speak to his character. I'm just saying that the quote-unquote deal that was brokered for him, five of these filthy jihadis for one American, not a good deal. And I'll pass it back to you guys, and you can pass it on.
Thank you. Thank you, Agatha. It's good to see I hope you don't mind, Michael, because I thought it's so important that we opened the panel up to, you know, for their views as well. And with that, I hope you don't mind, Michael, I'm going to pass it along to Tim, Mr. Burton. Tim, your views?
Well, I don't think I've got enough information to actually comment on this. I was given a heads up just a few moments before the show started tonight, and I've just been doing a little research, and it certainly seems as though there are conflicting accounts about this, and I'm not really up to speed on it. So rather than speculate from my point, I'll put it back to you and see if you'd like to get one of the other people who I know there's quite a few people who seem to want to talk on this subject. If you'd like to involve somebody else on this, it's probably better. I'll sit back for the moment on this.
Thank you very much, Tim, anyway. But I thought I'd, pass it your way. Kel, I think you've been very much involved in this story as well, haven't you? So I'm going to pass it to
Kel.
Well,
it crossed my desk briefly. I haven't read the entire story, but I'm familiar with the basics, and I'm sorry, but I have to agree with Holger in the chat room. We do not negotiate with terrorists. That's all I have to say.
I
can't say anything more.
I can get by on that.
We negotiated with terrorists, and I think that's wrong. Sorry. American soldier or not.
Yeah. Well, as I say, it's only right that we should, even though that we can't speak too much about it because it's just little bits at the moment. But I'm sure as this story is going to unfold, isn't it, guys? It definitely is, isn't it, Michael? It's going to unfold, this story. So, well, once we're a bit more clued up on exactly what's this, that, and the other, and as Kel said, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Never.
I'd like to jump in if I could. This reminds me a lot, quite frankly, of the story of Gilad Shalit. I'm sure everyone remembers this, and
yes.
I completely agree.
That was the Jewish soldier that was.
Yeah, but he was kidnapped. If I may interject, that Israeli soldier was kidnapped.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Kidnapped.
Sorry, guys.
He was kidnapped, yes, but we're looking at a similar thing here. We're looking at dealing with terrorists for the release of a friendly. And I have to agree with Holger. I said it was a bad deal in the first place, 5-for-1, but it's the worst deal in that we dealt with terrorists at all. I don't know about you guys, but I can remember 30, 35 years ago when we said we will not deal with terrorists. And what have we done since then? We've dealt with them. European countries have dealt with them. We being the United States, European countries have dealt with them. Even Israel has actually dealt with terrorists to get our people back. We need to stop doing this. Would the losses of these people be tragic? In many cases, absolutely they would. But the loss is even more tragic when terrorists know that they can work their will on us and make us do what they want us to do. In my opinion, guys, this must stop. Back to you.
Well said, Agador. Thank you very much for that. As I say, I thought it would be quite a topical thing to discuss, but as I say, we haven't really got too much information to go on at this moment in time, but I'm sure that we will on the later day be discussing it a little bit further in more detail.
Jeff, can I add one or two quick points, please?
Yes, go ahead, Michael. Please go ahead.
Okay, I want to inform everyone listening that I've researched this thoroughly, and I was aware of it when it happened. As many of you know, I have done a lot of things with our military here, and I do have people on the inside. And I'm not looking to, in any malicious way, make inaccurate statements about this soldier. The facts are he did walk off base. The United States Department of Defense refused to put forth a formal statement on how the Taliban got him. And right there, that's very suspicious, because normally the DOD, which is in charge of all military affairs in the United States, would do their research. Okay, you got to understand, he's on a base with scores of other soldiers. These are his brothers in arms, okay? He is sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and the other things in the oath of service when he was sworn in as an American soldier. There's also a fact that there is a bond there between these people when they're in a war zone, and to walk away from his brothers is what I find to most detestable, because they count on each other for their very life, and they're willing, properly, they should be, to put, lay down their life for each other, and that's how it is on the battlefield. So you have all these other people on base who are American soldiers, and they can't comment on record because without the authorization of their superiors up the chain of command. Now, no one else has ever been captured by the Taliban in Afghanistan in this kind of scenario. He also walked off base without his gear, and that's verifiable. He did not bring all his gear, and these guys wear a lot of gear out there, and he didn't bring his weapon. So, you know, what do we see there? We have to look at this. I've spent the time researching it, and I respect those who haven't done their own research, don't want to comment, but I do have to put all this out there, and it looks pretty clear that he is a deserter. Whether he suffers from some kind of mental breakdown or mental illness, I can't say, but he did what he did. He's got to be held accountable for it, but our government, as in the UK and many other Western nations, are very leftist and liberal. It's an election year in the United States. Big elections coming up in November of 2014. More than likely, Obama will use this as a way to make himself look like another, you know, do-gooder, which is very sickening. Now, the emails that I quoted, some of them, those were actually given out by his family in the outset of this. So there is information out there if someone wants to take the time to research and kind of verify what I'm saying and whatnot. Just, of course, stay away from any liberal websites, because it's interesting how the liberals are now, you know, he's a war hero. And, of course, he's the furthest thing from a war hero. He must be held accountable. I agree with everyone else's remarks that we never negotiate with terrorists because it sets a bad precedent. And this will just encourage the attempt to capture other coalition forces or American forces in Afghanistan, or actually in any Muslim theater of war, anywhere where they can try to get one of our people. And, of course, the individuals that they did release will be responsible for the deaths of innocent human beings, whether they be American soldiers or they be coalition soldiers or just innocent civilians. They'll have more blood on their hands.
Well, thank you, Michael, for, you know, the what you've been talking about. It's really, really appreciated, and a lot of food for thought there for our listeners as well. Very interesting points that you brought up this evening on the show. And I was just wondering, was there anything else that you wanted to discuss while we run the show, while we, you know, with the panels here and that, something that maybe the panel you'd like to share with the panel at all this evening, Michael?
Well, we can shift to an area that would be remote from this, and it would be maybe under the confines of humor. We'll call it Muslim humor. And I had an opportunity to compose something that I got in a little trouble for. Nothing serious. I didn't get arrested and go to jail, so to speak, literally. But it was disseminated in a particular social medium on the Internet, and I think one of our towel-headed friends took offense, and he wasn't too happy with it. But I think it's accurate, and I'd love to share it with everyone now. I think it's, I say humbly, something that it took some thought to put this together. Now, let me give you the background. In the United States, down near Ground Zero, as everyone knows, there's been many attempts to build a mosque near the site where these savages slaughtered thousands of people. Anyway, that didn't go anywhere. So one of the idiots involved who wanted to get this mosque going came up with a genius idea to have some type of Muslim museum, just as insulting as a mosque anywhere near that site. So I was pondering, I was contemplating, what could we expect to see in this Muslim museum? What type of exhibits? And I've got that information here. So I think that if this Muslim museum comes to fruition, I think that Tim Burton would agree that we could possibly see exhibits of beheadings, stonings. I think a section on how to murder your wife would fit right in with Islam. This one's a little unpleasant, but goat raping, let's be honest, it happens. And, you know, they might set up an exhibit on goat raping in the Muslim museum. Now, we know we're going to have some halal food in there. There's no question about that. Now, we'll probably move on to the amputation of hands, which is one of their favorite pastimes. They like to chop people's hands off. And one of my, really one I really would like to see is would be the suicide bombing exhibit on how to blow up for Allah.
I'm sorry about that, Mike. To blow up for Allah. That sounds really interesting.
We have a few more exhibits left. Now, this one's a bit crude. This is a bit crude, but once again, let's be honest. They do this, it happens, and, you know, it's part of their so-called religion. It would be the camel piss drinking exhibit. Now, I won't go to that one, you know. I'll have to pass that one up. I don't know how you all feel about it, but that would kind of gross me out. And we know that they do drink camel urine. Go on the Internet. Anybody who doesn't think they drink camel urine, research it yourself. Then we'll have another halal food one because halal food is a big thing, so we got to have at least one more halal food. Then we're going to go to the cave-dwelling one. That's an easy one to figure out. And last but not least will be the towel and the rag headdresses. And we can be informed of all these wonderful, you know, kind of things, the sheets and the rags and the things they wear on their heads and why they do it.
I think it's very interesting, the aspect of a Muslim museum. As I say, the Muslims spent so much time of destroying those big Buddhist temples and this, that, and the other. They spent all the time taking things down. That's why I laugh, because I find it so extraordinary, you know, that Muslims would have a museum, because they're against any type of architect things, aren't they? You know, they just want to destroy things, any sort of later civilizations, they would destroy any existence. So I do find it extraordinary, funny if they was even thinking about a Muslim museum as such, you know. But interesting. But I wouldn't put nothing past them, Michael, absolutely nothing of what they would do to try to better their cause. So very good point there, but I couldn't help but laughing about this the suicide. What was that you said? The suicide
bomb. How to blow up for Allah?
How to blow up for Allah, Michael?
Well, how to? And I'm not trying to make fun of this because it's serious, but how to murder your wife? I mean, that's a big part of Islam. I mean, you know, it's you know, we're making fun of things that are really serious, of course, but humor is important.
Tim,
you got any thoughts on this list?
That's right. I mean, we see the beatings in the Quran. I have to go about beating your wife, this, that, and the other. I don't know if they're going into full details of actually going to get back killing your wife, but it's quite acceptable to kill your wife in Islam, isn't it, Michael? This is the whole thing. It's quite acceptable, and the men all seem to get away with it. The murder,
have I left anything out? Anybody on the panel want to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. You missed out the section on whining, whinging, moaning, and throwing tantrums. I think that, considering we were discussing that only a little earlier, I think that would probably be one of the more interesting parts of the exhibits, and I'm sure people would queue up and pay a lot of money to see that.
Okay, I concur.
Just my two cents, you know.
I was going to say, you are going to stay with us for a while, Michael, but I'm due for a break very soon, so I hope you can stay, because it's been really interesting, some of the things we've been discussing this evening.
So what I want to do is, Kel, have you got anything for this time in the evening, please, that we could play for our listeners? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very, very busy chat room this evening. It's probably one of the busiest I've seen on a Sunday, so I've got to thank everybody for being here this evening and supporting the show as you do. So with that, I could pass it back to Kel. Have we got something nice for our callers and our listeners?
Yeah, we sure do, Jeff. I think that this is a perfect song, and this is Nickelback, and We Must Stand Together, and we'll see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
Thank you, Kel.
One more depending on a breath, yet we all look away. People pretending everywhere, it's just another day. There's bullets flying through the air, and they still carry on. We watch it happen over there, and then just turn it off.
Kel Fritzy. And tonight we welcome Michael Green, who is an American patriot who helps the U.S. military injured. We are talking about Val Vergara, who was Vergara, my apologies, who was returned for the trade of Guantanamo detainees. And the question that we are asking, do we negotiate with terrorists? My personal opinion is no, we don't. And I think that is the general consensus of the panel tonight. But with that, Jeff is back, and I would like to pass it back to him. And welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you, Kel. Yeah, once again, I had a problem. I double-clicked on the phone and had to call back in twice. I'm sorry I didn't get back right at the end of the music, as I normally like to do. But thank you, Kel, for taking hold of it for me till I return. And it was something. Maybe you want to elaborate a little bit on what you're talking about, because I didn't quite get the drift of what you was discussing just before I come back in. Maybe we could discuss that aspect you were talking about. That would be fantastic.
Oh, Jeff, are you talking with me? I'm sorry. What did
you
ask?
Yeah, I was talking to Kel. But
what did you ask?
Just discussing just before I come back in. Before I come back.
Well, I mentioned, I was in mid sentence and my train of thought was thrown off because somebody else was very eager to also discuss. But I'm very interested in our guest tonight, and that is Michael Green and what he has to say. And Jeff, if you and Mr. Green would like to continue your dialogue, I'm more than happy to listen.
Thank you, Kel. Yes, Michael, as I say, once again, it's great to have you on the show this evening. And so you have been a great conversation about different things just before I had to go for the break. Michael, as I say, it's been a couple of weeks, two or three weeks since we spoke to you before. Was there anything else that you've been quite busy with as of late? I know you were really busy, quite busy gentleman, with different things that you do. And so I was just wondering if you'd like to let us know what you've been doing with yourself just of late. Thank you.
Well, I spend a lot of time with combat veterans who have primarily been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, and I'm grateful, and I feel blessed by God to do a lot of worthwhile things for them. They have a lot to deal with, not just America, but in Canada and in the UK when they come home from the battlefield, whether it's a physical wound or, of course, post-traumatic stress, which can be a real problem, too. You know, the suicide rate is very high, and
yeah.
They need all the support and prayers and kind of ministering, you know, that we can give them, because they've physically, as we know, fought these savages, risking life and limb. And, you know, it takes a long time for things to heal up. So I have some some individuals who I'm very close with that I have been involved with over the past, you know, course of time. And whatnot. So I'm just hoping that a lot of the prayers will be heard to, you know, get them healed up physically, and of course with post-traumatic stress, which comes from, you know, being at war. I wonder if Muslim savages get post-traumatic stress. I would question it, because they have no morals. They're kind of morally bankrupt, and you know. If the things that they do to human beings,
well, they're soulless, aren't they, Michael? Most of the time, when they kill people, they're soulless when they do it. You know, when you go to war, if you're a soldier, you go to war and you have to do your duty. It's something you have to do. You've always got a conscience. With these people, the truth of the matter is, some haven't got a conscience. They don't care. They don't care. They're doing it for Allah, as far as they're concerned. So yes, we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I believe
dilemma to what they are.
Spiritually, I'd say they have the devil in them. For those that, you know, believe in heaven and hell and God and Satan, I do firmly as a Christian that they do, and that's not an excuse to excuse away their barbaric actions. But they're filled with darkness, as you said, as I think everyone on the panel knows. And I watched a documentary not that long ago about young children in Afghanistan who were taken by the Taliban and were being groomed to be suicide bombers. We're talking about young kids. 9, 10-year-old boys. What could be more reprehensible to take a child that has, you know, not any ability to even understand these kind of things, and to brainwash them into putting a explosive device on their body, and then sending them out to slaughter human beings. Of course, they die in the process.
I agree. We have seen cases of handicapped children having devices strapped on them. So, you know, we got to speak the way that we look at these people. They're beyond comprehension, aren't they? To use children in that way, we would never, ever, you know, dream of doing anything like that. You know, Western civilized world, you don't do that. Children are a precious commodity to us all. And for people to, you know, go about, you know, using children as fodder, basically, you know, as, you know, walking through, we know that there was some blueprints drawn up if there was a conflict or something in Iran or something, and the children would be the first ones to walk across the minefields. That's it. The first people to walk across will be children, and that they're going to go for Allah, and, you know, you've got to do this, and the brainwashing technique they use. This is what we're up against, ladies and gentlemen. The whole evil entity of Islam, it's the evil tentacles what it's got. And, of course, even the precious are, you know, all going to be affected more so. You know, they're going to use the children as, you know, as their prime goal. And how many times have we heard the stories, Michael, of, you know, you go to attack these Islamists, and they stand in front of the women and children, put the women and children first and hide behind them. This is the coward's approach, the coward's way, and it's this is what we see throughout the Islamic world, a load of cowards.
Absolutely.
That's my view, Michael.
Let me share a couple of, one or two stories, because like I have mentioned, for many years I have a very close connection with a lot of Marines and soldiers who have been in Afghanistan. I'm sure the Canadians and the Brits have experienced the same thing, but these children also are filled with hatred. And the older Afghan boys, let's say 12, 13, 14, and 15, are capable of murdering our troops. And some of them have, but it never gets publicized. Well, I have a close friend whose son was killed in Afghanistan. He was a United States Marine. And on his last birthday, before he made the ultimate sacrifice, he asked his mother for a powerful slingshot with steel ball bearings. And the reason being is because these Afghan kids would take rocks and other objects, and they would hurl them at our service members and, you know, try to really do damage. Now, they wear a lot of protective gear, but, you know, their intention was to inflict some kind of harm and whatnot. And so he wanted to use the slingshot kind of to deal with them without using any real lethal force. Although I know for a fact that, you know, there have been times when our troops had to engage young people because they did have a weapon or a hand grenade. And that's a terrible thing, you know, because we in the West have an understanding that no one ever wants to take life of a child on the battlefield. But if you're given a situation where it's either your life or your brother's life next to you, you know, the guys you're serving with, you have to engage that person and pull the trigger. And it's a tough thing to deal with, you know, as time moves forward. But it's just another example of the savagery and the pure evil of this ideology. You know, they get these young boys to be jihadists too. And if they get killed, it's nothing to them. The lack of regard for their own people is what kind of astounds me. They're willing to sacrifice their women, their children, you know, infants, babies, whatever, for their sick, demonic, you know, barbaric cause. I guess they believe that the souls of these people will go in to see Allah. Unfortunately, they're all burning in hell.
This is the point, isn't it? They do it all for Allah. Anything they do is for Allah. It doesn't matter how evil, how barbaric, how sick, it's all for Allah, isn't it? This is the whole thing, isn't it, Michael? Which we stand, you know. I'm against totally everything what Islam stands for. I don't know if you are, Michael, and I know a lot of our listeners are. You know, you can't be nothing but against this evil entity that's out there that's trying to take over the world. I mean, it's got, actually, I don't think we'll ever see it, be quite honest with you, Michael. They say that they're going to have a caliphate, this, that, and that, and they do say with demographics, but I think they're just going to implode. I'll be quite honest with you. You know, the way they're going, the way they're under the spotlight, everything they're doing these days is totally under the spotlight, and they will be dismantled. The whole thing, the old ideology, will come crashing down around them, and they'll end up where they should be, in their little sandboxes, back in the Middle East somewhere. That's where they should belong, Michael. Let the free world get on with the civilizations of what we've got before us. We don't need anything like this barbaricness being brought upon our shores or whatever, enforced on us actually by our politicians, isn't it, Michael? Imposed by them.
Yeah. Well,
you know, we're not putting up with this. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's not what we stand for, and we're not going to have it. So, anyway, I go on a little bit, but I get very angry about the way that our politicians do things, and I think you agree.
Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you one other story. I have a good friend. He's a chaplain. Some of our chaplains are also trained soldiers. I mean, a lot of them, they all go through that, but he has the Ranger tab. Rangers are pretty awesome fighters. They're a special unit in the United States Army. And he said there are two ways they can meet God. And, you know, one is the Bible and the other was his M16.
Well, I got to break in here, guys. I'm sorry, I got to break in because, Frank, one of the truly greats of the EDL, made a comment as to motivation here. And he says in the chat room, when it comes to Islamists, it's not Allah, it's Dallah.
Dallah. Very good.
It's that money, baby.
Yeah. Amazing. But that is
Jeff, I've got something quickly. I got important piece of information. It's going to take a few seconds. I do need to share. I just found it. And everyone, please listen attentively. The father of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl went and met with our so-called president. And I'm going to read what he said. And if this doesn't give everybody a good understanding of what kind of person his son is, there's a connection here, okay? He praised Allah for the release of his son. This guy's father is a Muslim, okay? He's a practicing Muslim. I didn't know that. And he recited that famous phrase that Muslims say, Bismillah Rahmin Rahmin, in the name of Allah, most gracious and most compassionate. And he did this in the presence of Obama. So what's going on here? I don't want to, bring this whole thing up. We already covered it, but that's important. It's important to be aware.
Yeah, it is. Now, where are you getting this from, please?
This is from Jihad Watch. And anything Robert Spencer publishes, I trust implicitly. And I'm sure other websites are carrying it.
All right.
Freed U.S. soldier's father praises Allah. He's a practicing Muslim, this guy.
Good grief. Well, nothing surprises us whatsoever, Michael. And of course, we know that Obama, he's a Muslim. It's quite obvious. I think most of us are just, as Kel would say, Islamic fed up with this whole thing.
Islamo fed up. You better believe it, Jackie.
Thank you, Kel. Is that Islamo fed up? Go ahead, Kel. Did I pronounce that right? Oh, don't want to mess things up.
Oh, yeah, you got it right. Yeah, we are. We're not Islamophobic. We're Islamo-fed up.
Yep.
Or Islam-informed.
But as I say, we've it's been quite busy evening this evening. It's absolutely fantastic to take your call this evening, Mike, on some very, very interesting things that we've been discussing tonight. I don't know if we've still... Well, someone's dropped off. I've just noticed. I was going to just pass it to Tim, actually, because I thought he might have some questions, but he's dropped off, Kel, by the looks of it. So, never mind.
His internet connection dropped because I have the Skype page open as well so that I can private message everybody, and he's lost from Skype as well, so it's his internet.
Oh, dear. It's so annoying, isn't it, when you have a show and you drop off like that. But Kel, I know that there were some questions that you wanted to ask Michael as well. So I'm going to put it back to you, Kel, and go ahead, please.
Well, I'm just wondering, where do we go from here? Where is Bowie? Forget. I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Michael. My apologies.
Just call him a Muslim. Just say the Muslim soldier.
The Muslim soldier. Okay.
Yeah,
where do we go from here? Now, where are we going to send these Gitmo detainees? And when can we expect the Muslim soldier to arrive on American shores again, Michael?
Well, that's a very good question because... these leftist scum in our government have been releasing these savages. There was a large number of them there. Personally, I don't think that they should have been put there. I think whatever information could have been extracted should have been, and they should have been executed. But unfortunately, we don't do that.
Yeah.
So there is a very important issue now, the remaining number of them. I think it's 146. And I'm sure that in different groups, probably small groups, they will be put into certain countries, possibly Uruguay. I was reading a couple of the savages will go to Uruguay. But they're all going to find their way back to the battlefield. So, you could put them in the North Pole, and somehow they'll find their way back to Pakistan, Afghanistan, wherever.
I don't know if I was up to my neck in alligators because the chat room and the studio was so busy. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to explain to people exactly what you do for our American troops, Michael. Would you like to expand on that?
I come from a military family. My father served in the United States Army, and I became involved with the Wounded Warrior cause in the United States about 5 years ago, and that has been a main focus of my life in different ways, all charitable work and whatnot, and Christian ministry and things of that nature to our forces who have come back wounded from the Iraq theater and the Afghanistan theater of war. And I'm very grateful.
Mm-hmm. We are grateful to you, Michael, for all the work.
Oh, we certainly all
can. And ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, you are listening to Michael Green, an American patriot that helps the wounded who come home from the theater of war. In light of this story, it's clear that this person was a deserter. You said his father was a Muslim, right?
That is correct.
And by birthright, and I'm only using that term in a technical sense, ladies and gentlemen, by birthright, he is himself a Muslim. How do you feel about Muslims in the military? Do you think that the Muslims should be exempt from joining the U.S. military or any Western military?
The fact that a person who is a devout Muslim any Muslim properly following their so-called religion, their allegiance will never be to the nation that they live in, the constitution, the laws of that nation, and certainly not in regard to serving in any branch of the military.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that from just studying Islam and understanding the writings and the words. You know, they say it themselves. So being their allegiance, first and foremost, must be to the Quran and to their entire ideology. I do not believe that they can be trusted, and therefore I do not believe that they should be members of our armed forces. There have been instances where they have done, you know, jihad. There was the Fort Hood shooter in 2009 in Fort Hood, Texas. There was a Muslim in Kuwait who threw some hand grenades into a tent and killed several fellow soldiers. There's been several plots discovered. There have been Muslims who did serve, and then when they got discharged out, they used their military training and knowledge to attempt to attack and kill service members, you know, at different processing centers. There's a whole litany of them. I don't know in other countries. I do know in the United States. And the answer is no, they should not be.
Absolutely. And I certainly concur with that. We have a question from the chat room, and this comes from Hold Your Awaken. And he wants to know, can a Muslim actually take the oath that our servicemen take?
Well, being that Islam, I'm sorry, let me back up. Being that Muhammad said that war is deceit, and that lying and deceiving in Islam is not just permissible, but it's encouraged. For them to do this, there's a particular story, I can't give you too many details, but I knew a very high-ranking army officer who was a recruiter in a big city in America, and there was a Muslim who tried to infiltrate our military by enlisting, and you know, they caught certain things on his background and he didn't get in. So that's just another example. And yeah, they can do it. They can do that. They absolutely can take that oath of service, knowing that they're not going to keep it, and you know, go about some type of deception and wait until the time is right or whenever they think it's supposed to be, and then to perpetrate jihad.
Well, and I weigh in here too, since Tim isn't around. You know, he often talks about keeping Islamists away from the levers of power, and this is definitely one of them. Not only should they not be the cop on the beat when it comes to civilian life, but no, they should not be in any of our military forces, because yes, they can take all the oaths people want to give them, but if they're oaths to kafir, if they're not oaths to Islam, then they'll just ignore it.
And Holger brings up a very good point once again, and that is his point. If they cannot swear the allegiance, and that is a fact, then we know that they are lying if they take it, Michael. And that is Holger's main concern, of course, and that's our concern in general. Sure, they can take the oath, but they are engaging in the takia, and they're lying if they take it.
Absolutely. Just the fact, you know, all you need is one incident. One incident where there's a loss of life, and that's it. That's it. You know, you don't need to give any more opportunity. Even if you have a certain number of them that are serving, and maybe they won't become violent. We don't know that. But if it happens one time, it's one time too many.
And so we can all agree that Muslims should not be allowed to enlist in the military, whether it be the U.S., Canada, Australia, the U.K. I have felt this way for a very long time. That's my personal opinion, and I'm glad that, Michael, thank you for reinforcing what I feel. And I'm going to pass it back to Jeff now.
Thank you, Kel, and it's some very good points you made, Aaron, and I would agree with you as well. Kel, with what you said, we shouldn't have them being allowed. So I'll go along with what you and Michael was discussing. So thank you so much for that the great conversation we're having tonight. Michael, it's absolutely awesome to have you here tonight. It really is. And the show, my goodness me, it's so busy in the chat room as well. It's been it's one of those nights, Michael, that it's just buzzing tonight. And it's great. And everybody, the chat room is chatting away like a good one. Great, you know, I tend to follow what's going on in the chat, you know, people saying things, and I might bring up different points to put towards you, if I see a question pointed towards your way. But also, I've just got to thank you for all what you've done the last 5-6 years with the great cause that you've been doing. And I know it's been hard going, but thank goodness there's great people like you, Michael, because as we know that you know, these soldiers, when they come home from war, that they've been affected. You know, it might not be so much on the battlefield as such, and I think you would agree, but it's when they're home, when it's time to reflect with their families, is when the nightmares start coming back to some of these young men and young women, and this is something that's The psychologists really need to get a hold of, because there's, as you say, Michael, there's been lots of suicides due to the, you know, people, you know, the hardship, seeing friends that have been killed, that the horrific things that goes on in war, and they need a time or a place for people to check them over, to make sure that they're okay, to help guide them through, because some of the things that they've seen is we would never even dream of experiencing some of the things that they've had to endure. Would you not agree, Michael, that we need to be able to treat them and look after them well, because they were our young and our brave people.
Yeah, I know that in Canada and in the UK, of course, there are organizations that do this. They're private organizations. The government do very little. You know, the government doesn't really do enough. In America, they over-medicate them with too many drugs for post-traumatic stress. But, you know, we need to, if we believe we're a patriot, do something, support some cause somehow. I don't care what it is, you know, to donate a few dollars to an organization you feel is reputable. You know, say a prayer at night before you go to sleep for these warriors, because they went out there and they risked life and limb for us, because we all know it started after 9/11, and certainly England had its own 9/11 with 7/7. And
yeah.
So we do need to never forget that these people willingly, they volunteered to do this. And that, to me, is a tremendous thing. Anybody is willing to put their life on the line or come back seriously damaged physically or mentally, it's a tremendous sacrifice that must never go unnoticed. I have
Amen
many
to that. I agree with that exactly. Every word you said there,
yeah.
Michael.
I have many friends who have served with. I just want to relay this to the other people on the panel. I have many friends who served and met Canadian and British soldiers, and you know, our guys just love them. And it was great for them to have a chance to meet, you know, soldiers from Canada's military and also from the UK Royal Marines and other, you know, British soldiers in Afghanistan. So we're all in it together.
We certainly are, Michael. I think I've got a call there. And this is a gentleman called Frank. He's from the EDL. And I think he's got a question for you, buddy, Michael. So it's okay. I'm just going to pass him on now. I've got the wheel of death there in front of me. Good evening, Frank. I'm not sure whether you had a question for Mr. Michael Green. He's doing absolutely fantastic work, sir, for what he does, and I was wondering if there was a question related to Michael with the work that he's been doing. Over to you, Frank. Good to see you, buddy.
Well, good evening. But, yeah, to be honest with you, Michael, I've got no question at all. I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I agree with you. I've got no question But anyway, I just wanted to spread a little bit of news that I've discovered, yeah? After 6 years of bloody listening to all sorts of discussions and television programs and everything else, I've finally discovered the difference between a moderate Muslim and a radical Muslim. The moderate Muslim has a shave in the morning. And that's all there is to it.
Word.
Well done, Frank. Well done. And it
I
was,
had to share it
coming on bloody just
years. It's taken me years to fail on it, but I had to share it with you.
No, thank you so much, Frank. And I heard Agadog burst into laughter there. Michael, what did you think of that comment from Frank there?
Well, I hope they shave without any shaving cream, you know, kind of a dry shave.
Oh, no, they're into pain. They're bound to. They're probably
yeah, they are.
The
they're
sandstone.
Screwing it, Michael. We know what they're like.
Yes,
oh, my goodness. Frank, you've read.
There's one of them. The moderate Muslims are barefaced liars.
Oh, I like that. That is good. You've been thinking well tonight, Frank.
Well, no, I've been trying to fathom it out for years. Everybody keeps telling me, oh, he's not moderate, he's not radical, oh, that's not us, that's nothing to do with us. And I finally worked it out, yeah. The moderate Muslims are the ones with the barefaced liars. They get up in the morning and shave and have an haircut just to try
there
and get it.
But I would always say, you know what I'm going to say now, Frank, and I'll say that to our listeners, a Muslim is a Muslim is a Muslim. Without all the moderates,
yeah.
Without the radical,
well, anyway,
a Muslim
I've just shared my research with you. I've got nothing else to say. I'm going to just listen back
buddy.
In and go along. Meanwhile, Mike, I have no questions. Ag, I have no questions. I know what you're coming from. I'm with you all the way, bro. God bless. Catch you later.
God bless you too, Frank. It's so good to take your call this evening.
Good on you, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was a great call, wasn't it? Between a radical, yeah. I don't. Yeah, very good. But my goodness, Kel, I was just looking at the time. And we're at the
mm-hmm.
top of the hour, and I was wondering because I know it's going to be a bit busy, but I was wondering if we could have a roll call for this evening, Kel, because it's.
You sure can there, Jeff, and you're right. It has been very busy. That's why I've been sitting back so that you and Michael could have a dialogue with unfettered with the panelists. And but we do want to appreciate our panelists. But, of course, you are listening to the EDL radio show. Your host is Jeff Mitchell. Your co-host is Kel Frissy. The panelists are... Cat Strangler 101, and that is Tim Burton, whose internet unfortunately dropped. The other panelist this evening is Agador, and that is the unpleasant blind guy. Our very special guest this evening has been Michael Green from the United States, and we have been discussing the issue of I hate saying his name. We'll just call him the Muslim soldier who was traded in for... Gitmo detainees being traded out. But in the chat room, oh, Jeff, it is just absolutely phenomenal. We have Abba joining us, Angel M.
Hey, my old buddy from Baltalk, Kel. Hey.
Hey. Angel M, Bigfoot, COG, Doc, EDL Ming, Eric Kyle, Frank, who just called in, FRMSEM. We have some guests in here. Holger Awakens, Paul Alexander, Corky, Richard Millington, Ron Kelly, Sandbox, Smirky, Stanger, My Voice, Tesla, and Vorpalbyte. And we've had people pop in, and we've had people pop out. And Jeff and myself very much appreciate all the time that you take out of your busy day to spend with us. And we also want to thank everybody that listens in the podcast. So there you go, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kel. As I say, absolutely
Fantastic. Thank you so much, guys, for all being here this evening and listening to our guest this evening, is Mr. Michael Green. And as I say, it's just been an absolute fascinating night tonight. The chat room, as I say, fantastic, guys. Thanks for dropping all the links in as you do and the little comments. It really is appreciated, isn't it, Kel? The work that goes in. I've got to give a big salute to Holder Awakens. Holder, our Holder, had an absolutely superb show last night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance to listen in the archives to Holder's show, it was just absolutely a fantastic show, wasn't it, Kel? Really, really was.
It was really good. And you know what? I'd like to run down the chat room again just rather quickly because
yes, please, Kel.
The arrow wasn't working for me. But we have Abba. We have our own Agador, Angel, hey. Bigfoot, COG, Doc, EDL Minx, Eric Kyle, Frank EDL, FRM, SEM. We have guests, Paul Alexander, Porky Steve, Richard Millington, Ron Kelly, Sandbox, Smokey, Stanger, Tesla, Vorpal Bite. And there you go, Jeff.
Wow. It seems to take forever, doesn't it? But, yeah, it's been very, very busy tonight, and it's fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. And not forgetting, all our great listening audience out there, wherever you might be, we know you listen to as far-flung a place as Japan even, haven't we? We were talking about this the other day, as far-flung as Japan and places like that. Thank you. Thank you for being with us each week, every Thursday, Friday, and a Sunday. Sunday does seem to be, we've talked about this before, it does seem to be a little bit of a prime time, doesn't it, these, which we've noticed, but we've noticed Thursday and Friday shows have just been as hectic as as the Sunday shows, haven't we, Kel? So thank you so much, guys, for being with us. You know, 2 years journey plus now, we're moving, we're still coming down the road. We've got a demonstration coming up on June the 7th or the 8th. The 7th or the 8th, isn't it, Kel? Let's get it right. It's Stevenage. Richard Millington, maybe you put some info up there, young man.
Yep. June 7th.
He's sitting in the chat room.
June 7th. No surrender ever.
Ever. And, yes, we've got one coming up very, very soon now, as you know. It's... what are we into? Is it next week? Have we got that? The Stevenage. This is a regional demonstration, but a very, very important demonstration, ladies and gentlemen. So if you were thinking of going, you haven't got much time. It's the 7th of the 8th. It's the 7th, isn't it? It was on a Saturday. It's on a Saturday. You get in touch with your divisions, and if you're travelling or whatever, and make your last minute, your instructions for we all meet up and that. And I know you're going to have an absolutely fantastic day because every day these days when we have our demonstrations just seem to get better and better and better and everybody comes away with a buzz, you know, so there you go. And then we've got a national on the 28th of June and this is in Middlesbrough. This we want feet on the street for Middlesbrough. Okay, guys. So there you go. So it's 2 days I wanted to put up, and I'm going to be before the weekend comes. We'll be talking about them as well, more so, wouldn't we, Kel? So there you go, guys. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you for being here this evening with us with the show, and Michael yourself being an absolutely awesome guest, and right, so. Was there any other things that we wanted to discuss with Michael? Because, as I say, we are starting to, the time is starting to tick away a little bit. And thank you for being here with us this evening, Michael, and spending, you know, your time with us as well. You've been an awesome guest tonight. Thank you so much.
I'm grateful to be on the airwaves again, Jeff, and I hope to return again if you'll have me back.
Certainly will. That's guarantee, Michael. You're great. And there's always a guarantee we've always got something that we're going to be discussing, aren't we? You know, we all say this, Michael, that Islam doesn't go away. And nor do we.
We just we highlight these problems that we've got. We'll continue to highlight them, and you know, it's what we do. It's what we, the English Defence League, does as a pressure group, as a global pressure group. We've got to look at it that way, Kel. We're a global pressure group, and we are stepping it up. We know Islam is trying to cause waves, but you know what? Every step of the way, we'll move every step closer to them. So, yeah. So it's got to be done, isn't it, guys? It's got to be done. We've got to carry on down the road. We will be going down your road. If you've got problems in your area, where you might be, you've got these Islamic grooming gangs, or we don't like calling them grooming gangs, Islamic slavery gangs, and there's a real issues. You guarantee that, you know, we will come down your road. We will demonstrate. We will speak out. These corrupt politicians, the corrupt councillors, the police not saying anything, things going unattended for many years, which we've seen over the time. It's absolutely degradation of their duty, isn't it, Kel? These people that allow these things to happen under their watch.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, I know. I find it's nauseating. And I just put a quote from the one article that I've been using, and that is, the government of Qatar, which helped broker the release, pledged to put in place measures to protect our national security. And this is what Obama said at the White House Rose Garden. And I put in the chat room as well, you fucking asshole. You negotiated with terrorists. I'm sorry, Jeff. Like, this just infuriates me.
Well, he looks through the eyes of a terrorist anyway, having an Islamic background as he is. So, yeah, I understand the anger there, Kel, and not just yourself, but there's probably millions of people, good American people, that wonder what the hell that this president is going to do next. This so-called, this pretender of a president, you know. What other damage can he cause before his term is up? The sooner he goes, the better.
I'll tell you this, Jeff.
You know, that... Go ahead, Agador. Sorry,
buddy. Didn't mean to interrupt. You know, but I'll tell you this. You know, and I say it every time. You know, but it's I keep doing it because it keeps happening. You know, every day I wake up, and I fire up everything that I get my news on, and I just wonder what fresh hell this administration is going to bring every day, and every bloody day it's something. You know, I mean, we're just getting to the point where it's nauseating here.
It certainly is, and I think everybody feels the same way as yourself. But as I say, the Obama regime, hopefully in a not too distant future, will disappear up its own crevice, and at least this great country of America can rebuild. And it's going to take time. You know, after all the damage that this person's done, it's going to take time. It's going to take some stability to steer that ship back to where it rightfully belongs, you know, that bright beacon of light that shines throughout the world. That's the way I've always looked at America, you know, Agador. You know, I'm looking in, the great beacon of light. It's like I look towards the Middle East. There's a beacon of light that shines out there, and that's Israel. You
yes,
know,
it
and that's the way I've always looked at these great democratic nations of ours, and we will not ever accept these Muslims trying to do away, because they hate democracy, they hate for everything that we stand, they just hate us full stop, don't they, Agador? They just hate
us. They do, yeah. I just want to bring in one other thing here, Jeff. You know, the light you're talking about is the light of Israel. It's the light of the love from all of the other religions. And I just want to give a very quick example, because I wasn't able to do this on No Way 90 show. And, Kel, I apologize if this upsets any apple carts. But our wonderful friend, Sweet Sue, was in the hospital, and she was recovering from her second surgery that she received this time in the hospital. And she's in the recovery room, and she was praying out loud. And the recovery nurse told her to shut up. She said, shut up. We don't pray in here. And you know, I couldn't help after being, you know, pissed off enough to knock down a wall. I said to Sue, I really, you know, can't help but believe that if you prayed to Allah, they wouldn't have said a thing. But Sue is happy now because she is surrounded by Christians who say a prayer for her once in a while and that kind of thing. She's very happy. But this all brings it into focus, Jeff. What you're talking about, the hope that we have is the light of love that comes from all the people who want to be free. Jewish people, Christians, people of other religions, you know, everyone who wants to live together in a free world, a world free of terror and misery and hate and pain, all these things that Islam wants to bring. This is the hope. We will win. Okay.
Well said, and Kel, that was absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Agador, and it lifts your spirits when some person like yourself, Agador, when you say something like that, that does really make everybody realise this is what we're all about. We love our freedom, we love democracy, and we will fight to defend it. You know, our ancestors have fought hard and died to protect the things that we got, and all we are is custodians of what we've got before us, and we won't let any politicians take it away from us, because we've got to pass those keys on to the future generations, haven't we? That's what I'm saying, Agador. This is our position. It's where we stand. That it's something we must do, and we will. That's it. There's no two ways about it. We're here for the long haul, and you know, no matter what they throw at us and all this crap that's put about, we will win the day. You know, we will have our victory in the end. Islam will be a thing of history, a dark, dark history. Because when historians look back in time, they'll see how evil this entity was, that evil walked this world. And I don't know if you would agree with that, Agador, but it does seem that what we see around
well,
is
I
evil.
Well, I think that you should. We are down to our last 13 minutes, and I think our guest of this evening, Michael Green, I really appreciate the time that you spent to come onto the program. Don't you think, Jeff?
He's been an absolute. Have we got a round of applause for this gentleman? We've got to have a little round of applause for Michael spending so much time with us this evening. His precious time. Thank you so much, Mike. You've been absolutely an awesome guest this evening.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We've got a round of applause somewhere for you, Michael. If we can find it. There you go, Michael.
Well, now,
that was an astounding round of applause from everybody listening to the
show
this evening.
Well, I'm grateful. I'm humbled.
Now, bless you, Michael. And you're going to come back and see us again soon, aren't you, buddy? I'm sure you will. I hope you are. I hope so.
Yeah, I expect to be back,
Michael,
next week. Yeah.
Woo!
Well, I if it's okay with you all, we can do a follow-up on Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. I'm sure there'll be some more news as this thing develops.
Sounds very interesting. Kel, what do you think of that? That just sounds like a plan, doesn't it? What do you think, Kel?
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be wonderful. Michael, as the co-host of the EDL radio show, I am so very thankful that you could join us. We have missed your voice here on the program, but you have been an honored guest tonight, and Jeff and myself appreciate it so much, as does the panel.
Yeah, we certainly would. And also, I hope you don't mind, Kel, but, you know, we've got Abacus Ab, a dear, dear friend of mine from the panel talk, and we've got a few of other guests that have been in the chat room tonight, and I'm going to plug the because they've got the Valve Talk Room,
I think it's the, I think it's the, is it the English Defence League room, is it there at ABBA? But I'm giving them a plug anyway. I'm going to plug the Pal Talk room tonight. There you go, Kel.
Okay,
but
the
Michael,
power,
thank you
so
much.
Talk room.
There you go. Thanks, Kel. So, yeah, because I've been there for a little while. I'm going to pop in maybe after the show tonight just to say hello to everybody. But thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for your continued support. And as I say, we'll be back again this Thursday, won't we, Kel? And you're probably going to have quite a busy show this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't planned anything at the moment, but we'll be talking about the future demonstrations, won't we, as well, Kel? This will be some things we'll be discussing.
Yes, we will. And just to let you know that Tim Burton is back.
Oh,
yay!
Tim's back!
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah,
sorry about that. Having a few technical problems at this end, so I've missed a lot of the conversation, but hopefully I'll be up to speed and everything will be running good for the next time we're online on Thursday. And in the meantime, I'd like to just say thanks to Michael for calling into the show tonight. I know everybody was looking forward to speaking with you, Michael, and I hope you've enjoyed coming back to us.
Greatly so, in a very big way. Yes, I've enjoyed my time, and I hope to return next week.
Good. Yeah, look forward to speaking to you again soon. But I'll pass the microphone back to you, Jeff. And let you carry
thank
on.
Thank you. And it's good to have you back again, Tim. I was going to say, because I know you was having a few issues there, but it was good to have you back, Tim, just before the show as well. So good on you, mate.
Well, yeah, I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a pain in the arse, the internet.
It can, yeah. This particular computer that I'm using, I've had problems with for a little while now, and I'm just looking forward to the day when West Midlands Police get round returning the computer that they took off me back in December, because I still haven't had that back, you know, believe it or not. After 6 months, it'll be...
Yeah, Tim, have your solicitor been in touch with them? Because there's no reason that should be holding your computer. You was proved everything was innocent. You was innocent. And they're holding on to your computer without reason, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, so I mean, I don't think there's anything malicious behind it. I think it's just a question of the administrative process is just grind very slowly, and I'm sure they're going to get round to it in the next few months.
I'll keep harassing them, Tim. You know, why not?
You're
a public citizen.
Well, I mean, I have
that's your
been
bloody computer, was it?
I have been harassing them. I've been writing letters. I was actually looking to see if I could find my good friend Julian, the counter-terrorism officer, so he could put a little bit of
give an impression
there.
Of Julian and his friend Sandy Gorn.
We've been totally missing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, just for ladies and gentlemen, just for those of you who haven't heard this particular story, shortly after I was acquitted in the Birmingham Takiyah trial back in April, I was visited by two very nice young men from the counter-terrorism squad of the West Midlands Police, and there was a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and I was expecting to be arrested for something or other, and they said, "Oh, hello, I'm Julian, this is my friend Sandy, we're from the counter-terrorism squad, and we just wondered if we could come in and talk to you for a little while. Oh, love your curtains, dear. Oh, yes, they're so lovely. Do you mind if I sit down? Don't suppose you could make us a nice cup of tea, could you? We're not going to arrest you, we just want a nice little chat." And so they came in and they sat down and they had a nice little chat. And basically, they wanted to just make sure that, having been acquitted at the Birmingham Takiyah trial, I wasn't about to go out and do untoward to any Muslims that might happen to be in the local area. Now, how do you feel? How do you feel about Muslims, Mr. Burton? What would you do if one came and moved in next door to you? I mean, you wouldn't do anything untoward, would you? Well, no, of course I wouldn't.
That's a bit of a leading question, isn't it, Tim?
Well, no, I don't. I'm paraphrasing. I don't think he actually used those words. But yeah, it was really quite amusing. And when they sort of flounced off down the drive after down
the
driveway,
skip down.
Yeah,
the
well, you know. Oh, they were with me for about half an hour, and they were taking notes and that. And they said, "Well, of course, it's very important that we keep tabs on all possible extremists. You know, we're not we think
Gladys,
you're an extremist,
Jake.
Mr. Burton. Yeah, not that we think you're an extremist, but you know, if there's anything we need to know, you know, here's my card. You know, Simon, Sammy,
yeah,
give
mean,
us your card.
This is the thing. I hope you don't mind, Tim. I've got to put it out there." What are they doing on your doorstep when there's Muslims out there who's probably planning to bloody blow up something or other? Why don't they go be knocking on their doors? Why don't they knock on Anal Chowdhury's door and all these other fuzzy wuzzies out there instead of knocking on your door? Good patriotic gentleman as yourself.
Fuzzy wuzzies, Jeff? Fuzzy wuzzies? That sounds very politically incorrect. I didn't particularly mind, but I did say to Julian as he went out the door, I said, you know, you couldn't have a word and see if you could get me my computer back, could you? And, oh, of course I will. I'll have a word. They're probably in the process of getting it back to you as we speak. But I will check for you. I will check. And off he went, and I never heard another word. So I
and
don't
of course
think,
he's gone longer, and you heard the old siren go.
Well, yeah, it wasn't.
Oh,
sort
I
of
couldn't resist
ner-
it.
It wasn't sort of It was like that. And it was off they went down the road. So anyway, they were great fun, those two. I would I'd have them back for a mug of tea any time. But I do wish they'd bring my computer with me next time.
Bit of fun for you, Tim, as well.
Yeah. So
but,
that was
the
story.
I just think that the implication of them coming as anti-terrorist coppers knocking on your bloody door. You know, that's the only thing that I find indignity of the whole thing. It's, why knock on your door when it could go knocking on some fuzzy wuzzy door, couldn't they?
you are a caution, Jeff. And we have to be cognizant of who might be listening to this show before you use such unreconstructive terms such as that.
Oh, I don't care. Let them prosecute me then, Tim. I don't care.
But yeah, that's the story. So anyway, if I get my computer back, I shall let you know. I shall be putting notes up here, there, and everywhere on social media on just to let you know I've got my computer back. Because it's a pain in the neck.
Bloody buzz, mate. Yeah.
Well, I mean that isn't going to be a problem for me because you know computer engineering is my trade. But yeah, I mean there are some people out there who plant spyware and all sorts of things on people's computers in order to you know keep an eye on them. In fact, there was one guy in the news only today, and I thought, oh, I wish I'd thought that. And what he'd done, he'd been a couple of his lady customers had come to him with some problems, and he put some spyware.
Jeff, I'm sorry, I'm interjecting. I'm sorry, you're down to 2 minutes, and you've yet to thank Michael Green for being here tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. I'll
sorry, Tim, I
day.
Just noticed that the time's really run away. I've got to thank you to it. Thanks for coming back and having a quick chat to us. Mr. Michael Green, you've been an absolutely awesome guest. See you next week, hopefully, buddy. And for everybody, Kel, thank you so much for what you've been doing. Fantastic. And Agador, great as usual, great contribution to the show this evening. And to everybody that's sitting in the chat room, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here and supporting the show. And so we'll be back again this Thursday. And I've got about 60 to 90 seconds now. So with that, I'm going to say for myself, Kel, Tim, Agador, and of course Mr. Michael Green, he's still sitting there at the moment, so thank you very much. And God bless. Take care.
And she's just only 60 seconds. So God bless. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
And not forgetting for myself and from the panel, from us all, no surrender. No surrender ever. With that, we are going underground with a very few seconds spare. Good night, guys. Good night, Kel. Good night.
Good night, Kel.
People might say that I should strive for more. I'm so happy I can't see the point. Things happening here today. A show of strength with your voice brigade. I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money of course and of mine. If I need you like that for Tommy Price, then the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. Pleasure as a hate me, I've enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging through your facts. Here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets, but I don't give up.
Of the show, and I'm gaslighting all of these guys. But you know what? I'm serious though. It was an interesting last half hour.
Well, you know, when things need to be put out, as we say, Kel, I believe if we've got something to say, we say it. And if something needs to be said and it hasn't been said, I believe in putting it out there in the open. I don't know if you would agree with me, guys and girls. None of you agree, but that is the best way.
Well,
honestly, it's the best honesty.
Oh, yeah. I've been living in Jeff's back pocket for 2 years, and he knows
what I get
agitated.
My ass is getting bloody uncomfortable, Kel. I've got a bruise on my arm.
No,
yeah.
I just had to switch my mind about it.
That's
all.
That's why you sit crooked in that chair, Jeff.
You got it, buddy.
Well, that's the thing,
but
though,
anyway,
guys.
But anyway, we've put some wrongs to right, right to wrong, and the world is once again working on its normal axis, thank goodness, to the English Defence League radio show and the panellists, as we normally to put the rights wrong. Yeah, there you go. But, Kel, once again, you've been fantastic tonight. Agador, And Tim, the Scarlet Pimpernel, they seek him here, they seek him here, they seek that Scarlet Pimpernel with the cat everywhere.
I just hear you say Scarlet Pimple.
Yeah. I think that would be fire as a doll, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Because you know, Tim and Agador, you know there's a little tune about our very own Kel Fritzy. Don't you, Kel? You know what I'm going to sing now.
Oh, no, Ellie? You're not going to sing, are you? Are you seriously
yes,
going
I am.
To sing? Oh,
you know, a little while ago, someone said, I think he won the chat, everywhere we go, she's Kel's there. Kel Fritzy's here, she's there. So the song goes, she's here, she's here, she's every bloody where. Kelly Fritz, Kelly Fritz, she's here, she's there, she's every bloody where.
You guys are
there you go.
Do you want to play out with the song?
Have we got one, Kel?
Yeah, I've got a pretty good one.
Have we got one? Okay, as I say, thanks, guys. Tim, thanks for making your way back, mate. I know you was been a bit elusive there and getting back in with the internet connection, but I knew you'd. I see the way that you didn't come too stealthy. You crashed through that cat flap tonight.
Yes. I don't think anybody
Kel,
could
you have to repair
me.
That bloody cat flap. Tim's absolutely messed it up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could accuse me of being stealthy.
Did you say I had to repair it?
Yeah, Kel, you left to. You done the last job on it, you know.
Well, you know what they say.
Well, you know what?
You don't have a dog and bark yourself, do you?
I can always work, Tim. No problem. I'll fix his cat flap.
Oh, that sounded painful.
Come on, Peter. Good old cat flap, Mr. Madeline.
Nurse, the screens, nurse.
Anyway, we're
and if you were over here at the stage, you'd say, "Nurse, the screens, and adjust the camera."
Oh, goodness me! Right, then, well, Kel, as I say, Tim, great to have you back. I know you had a right pain in the backside with the internet. What is it, Tim? Is it just the dodgy connection that you got with your internet provider, or is it just
no? It's the computer that I'm using. The one that I had back in a really high spec top end machine, and I've had to use something which is really designed for the job I'm asking it to do, and well, yeah, something like that, you know, a bit like a Reliant Robin. And it's for those of you who don't know what a Reliant Robin is, it's a very old style car which only had three wheels. And people used to like it years ago, but anyway, the point is that
bloody death trap, mate. Things were.
Well, the point is that this thing's been giving me trouble anyway. So, yeah, so hopefully not for too much longer, hopefully.
Tim, you're lucky you're damn cute. You're lucky to have a really nice coat.
It's that shiny coat that gets him.
He's got him giggling again.
The orange and white stripes. Yeah, the orange and white stripes. Yeah, the chicks love that stuff.
There you go.
Is this the stealth colours now then, Tim? Because I wasn't sure, because I thought it was all black stealth.
You know what? Jim's been bathing in Wonder Blue. Okay,
like
I have
me.
To explain that one. Wonder Blue is a shampoo that is used for cattle in Canada, okay? And
poor old Tim.
But I used to use that on brandy, and I would dilute it. And I use that on Freya, too, when I give her beauty treatment. And it's called Wonder Blue. So I've been baking Tim
Wonder Blue.
Wonder Blue.
There you go, Tim.
Well, at least we know our Tim won't get hoof and mouth disease, which is always a comfort.
Oh, and just to let you know, while we've been talking, I sent a message to Michael Green, and I apologized for walking all over him towards the end of the show, and he's just come back and said, no problem. He says he had a real good laugh over the counter-terrorism idiot's story. So I think we're okay. I think we're all right. We've kissed and made up, so we're all right.
Tim, you're a class act, brother.
I'm sorry for getting all sticky on you guys about it.
Well, you know.
If we want, we need something to be said. We are a panel and we are the team, and we put things out there. If some of us agree with it, some of us don't, then it's all about our own private little democracy that we've got between us as people. And I think that's the way it works and will continue to work. But no problem whatsoever, Kel. No problem, Bo.
This is Radio Gold, baby.
Let's leave the phone.
Oh, look, Michael's trying to get it out there.
And all that kind of let's leave all the phoniness and all the other pretending garbage to the people in old media. That's part of the reason they are old media. They're fake. They're phony. No one trusts them anymore. They don't trust the information they're giving people anymore. And do you really think that the people you see on these news programs all get along and are friends behind away from the studio? Hell no, they're not
like us.
They have but here we are. We may have an issue or two with each other once in a while, but we squabble, we fight, and like a family, we find a way to make it up, because in the end, we know that each of us are good people. Tim, you're a class act. Jeff, you are EDL Radio. Kel, you keep it all together. I couldn't be more proud to be with any bunch of people than I am with you guys. So, in the end, we're all family.
That is probably the best way to sum things up. We are a family. We are a global family. We care about one another. We care what's going on within the world, within our nations, and we're doing everything we can to make the changes. Yes, we're going to also have a little squabble now and again. It's only natural because people do.
No, it's human nature. Actually, it wasn't even a squabble. It was just the lady in the house that was going, "You guys are so rude."
I look at it this way. What's gone before has gone before. It's history, and we move on. Every time we move on. Would you not agree, Kel, Tim, and Agador, that we just move forward? We address the issues.
Jeff, we've got new names. It used to be Tim. It used to be Tim Kel. Now it's Tim Kel Agador.
I was a little bit disappointed tonight because I thought our Tommy English might be on the show.
I meant to bring that up to you. I got an email from him, a Skype mail, and he is back at work again.
Very nice.
He had to do some time.
And Kelly,
when he's not about, I mean, I think Agador and Tim would agree that we do miss young Tommy. He's good to have around, isn't he? That young man. So
yeah.
Never
he's
mind.
Good to have around.
There's episodes. Yeah.
I'd like to say real quick, Jeff,
Agador,
you let us go. I'd like to say a thing. I really hope nobody minded that I brought that in about Sue.
I tried to phone her. Yeah, I tried to phone her. Yeah, like Agador, you said that her audio was probably turned off, and I tried to phone her earlier again today.
Well, and that's it. The sound, someone probably turned the ringer off on her phone, and the only way I was able to get hold of her was because her nurse happened to see the light flashing on her phone. But yeah, you know, I really didn't want to break into the flow with what I had to say about Sue, but I thought it was pertinent to what Jeff was saying about you know, the beacon light of freedom coming from the Middle East, being Israel, and you know, I had to bring that up because it upset me. It always upset. I never like being told to shut up myself, and I damn well don't like it, you know, for people to say that to people like our wonderful sweet Sue. Who was in pain, in recovery from her second surgery, and praying, and you know, someone tells her to shut up. You know, that upset me a very great deal. Okay, and as I said, Kel, if that upset an apple cart, I apologize, but I can't apologize for being, you know, angry about that whole thing. It really upset me. So there we go, guys.
Well, it upset me as well when you relayed that. I'm glad someone didn't. I'm glad it wasn't me that I was praying when I just come out of had my major heart operation and I had people telling me to shut up. Because even though I would have ended up chinning someone for speaking to me that way.
Oh, yeah, if I'd heard that bitch say that and I'd been in the room with a booter halfway across the
joint. But I'm a different character. You know, I'm me and probably the same as you, Tim. Somebody, you'd feel the same as myself, wouldn't you? You know, you ain't going to put that crap from anybody trying to put upon their bloody religion upon you because you're in pain and you're calling out to the Lord to help you because you're in pain. So, you know, it's what we do. And if they don't like it, then they should have kept their comments to themselves, even though they don't believe in what we believe, and keep the comments to themselves. And she's a patient, and they should just care about her, not worry about what's going on, whatever, and keep their thoughts to themselves. I'm glad I weren't there when I heard it because, yeah, I would have probably been arrested for it because I would have ended up chinning someone for it. would you, Tim? Come on. Be honest, mate.
Yeah. Well, I might because I tend to be... I tend to have a lot less patience than I used to.
Yeah.
Well, we're not getting any younger, are we?
Actually, that's the best way, isn't it? Wet kipper.
less time left than there used to be, guys. Yeah, we're not getting any younger. But yeah, Kelly, I really hope that didn't upset an apple cart too much, but I had to throw that in there.
No.
No.
That was totally appropriate because Sue is such a big part of our family.
Yeah. She is important to us.
And we've been, she's been in our thoughts and prayers, guys. You know, and she's such an important part of what we do in it. And what she does is she's a driving force herself, like, and when she's not about, she's poorly. Well, of course, we she's our friend. We love her. We want to see her, you know, back on her normal tracks again. And she's been through quite a few months of being poorly. So hopefully, things will be on the turn for Sue for the better. That's all that we can wish her all our goodness and over in our thoughts and prayers. But anyway, Kel, I'm just looking at time, otherwise we're going to roll on for the third hour of the English Defence League.
Oh, I know. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to EDL Radio with Jeff Mitchell, Kel Fritzy, Tim Burton, and Agador, the unpleasant black guy, and the rantings and ravings of a mad woman. Please, I implore you. I was just playing devil's advocate, and I think I did a very fine job.
Well, yeah, there you go. Okay. You put that out there. but what I was going to say, Agador, have you got one of your YouTube clips coming up soon? Have you got anything in the pipeline? And then I was going to go and move on to Kel, actually. I was going to ask you, first of all, what you got in the YouTube machine, what you might be doing this week or so?
Well, Jeff, I've got a few ideas for something I might do this week. It's not 100% positive I'm going to do a show because I'm still kind of recovering from a little bit of blasting I had done in my jaw, or you know, earlier this week. But
oh yeah, how you feeling now, Wag? How you feeling, mate, buddy?
Not too terrible, you know. But there's still, you know, I mean, it can stop hurting any time now. Anyway, I do have some ideas for something. And they're kind of percolating around. So maybe look for something before the end of next week. But there will be something soon. In the meantime, please go to the Unpleasant Blind Guide channel on YouTube. There's plenty of there to listen to and hopefully help educate and maybe make people think a little bit about this, that, and the other thing. And I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk about my YouTube channel, Jeff. Back to you.
Well, that's only right. And it's good. Well, yeah, so there you go, guys. You want to check out our Unpleasant Blind Guy, our own Agador. There you go. Check him out on YouTube. Great channel. Kel, what's your plans this week? Mm-hmm. What's your plan for the show for tomorrow night?
I think Jim and I were going to discuss the Czechoslovakian president that declared that it's not radicals, it's not moderates, it's simply Islam that is responsible for the wolves in the world.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Bing, bang, bang. Yeah, well, I'll be listening to that show tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be one of those shows. If you're not there, where are you going to be? Because it's the place to be tomorrow night. It's the RFB show, isn't it, Kelly? The RFB show tomorrow night.
That's right. So
give
that's
the
right.
Listeners of times out.
That's right. Tim and myself, we do the RFB show on Mondays, and that is 3 p.m. Eastern Time. 8 p.m. British Mean Time. And then on Tuesday, gentlemen, we have Dr. Terry Jones returning on the Radio Jihad Network, where Tim and myself are freedom-loving infidels.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you just heard this. We you know, the radio host, you know, we did the English Defence League radio show, but look what you got coming up this week. You've got Kel and Tim tomorrow night, mm-hmm. and then, you know, a great show tomorrow night about the Czechoslovakian president, which is about Islam. You don't want to miss this show. And also, on a Tuesday night, you've got to the, with Kel and Tim, again, with the pastor, Terry Jones, which is quite, you know, it's been quite a controversial gentleman, but fantastic. So there you go, and so this is the place to be. And if you're not listening to the Blog Talk Radio with a great host, well, you know, you must have a boring life.
Yeah, and just
what
to
am
let
I
you
like?
Know,
oh, sorry about that, listeners. Slap myself on the back of the wrist.
Yeah. Just to let you know, everybody.
Well, it has to
you
be said.
Go.
You know me. I'll speak the way I find, don't I, guys? But anyway, Tim, Kel, I think we've promoted each other tonight. I'm just patting myself on the back as well. Well done, Jeff. Well done, mate.
There you go.
I think Tim had something to say there, Jeff, by the way.
Yeah, just to say, just before you go, Michael Green's just been messaging me on Facebook to say that he thinks we should create a Muslim museum in England, and he wants to be in charge of the exhibits. So I'm just going to be scouting around a suitable location in Birmingham, yeah. somewhere in the Jihadi Triangle in Birmingham. Sounds like a good place. Yeah. Well, it's actually called that. It is there's a little triangle that runs between the city centre, Alum Rock, and Spark Hill. You'll have to look it up on the map.
Yeah.
But it forms a more or less a triangle, and it's where it's virtually 100% bearded savages in that triangle, and it's called the Jihadi Triangle.
They've got the signs up, bearded savages area.
Yeah, that's right. Their signs are specially made up, you know, with little cartoon characters with turbans with bombs in them, you know.
Oh, God.
Have you got the beware of the, you know, of the like the women with their head, what do they call them? Their burkas, you know. Beware of these as crossing the road or something like that. Have you got them up there as well, Tim?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Well, yeah, maybe we can have an American extension, you know, and I've got the perfect place for the American extension of the, you know, Islamic Appreciation Museum. It's called the La Brea Tar Pits.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Excellent.
Agador. boom, boom. You guys are killing me.
Kel, where's the boom boom bit?
Oh my gosh, this is so funny.
There you go. See, we do you know what, guys? We had so much, too much fun, didn't we? Thank you, Agador. Thank you, Tim and Kel, for really adding things to my life and absolutely cracking me up. I've got tears streaming down my face now. I think it's tears. I'm sure it's
funniness.
Anyway. But
we better get out of here before
they turf me out. Okay, Kel, if you'd like to play us out, Tim, have a great show. By the way, guys, you have a great show tomorrow night. I will be listening to your
thanks,
show.
Yeah,
you'll both be there.
And what time is it on? It's on the 8, isn't it? I've got to apologise because I might be a little bit late because I've got something to do which will take me about 15-20 minutes of the beginning of the show. So my apologies, but I will be there, but it'll probably be 20 past, half past 8. Okay, guys?
You bet, Jeff. Agador, Tim, Jeff, it has been a blast, and I love playing advocates, even if I got a little heated about it, but you guys, you three are so wonderful putting up with this lady. And I wish I could blame
it
on my period.
Well, someone's
got
to do it, Kel.
I never mind, Kel. Just shave a few years off and do it.
Bless you, Kel.
Oh, we'll see everybody back here on Thursday. Okay, we're gonna play out with this. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Tim.
Good
night,
guys. And not forgetting,
good
night, no surrender ever, guys.
Good night, Jeff.
No surrender ever.
No surrender ever. Good night, Jeff.
No
good night, Jim. Good night, Kel.
Good night, Aggie.
Good night, guys.
Sit tight and listen keenly while I play for you a brand new musical biscuit.
I hope you realize you're playing
that. Listen, I'm up at your span.
Oh,
but the underworld, and that is where I stand. Where do you stand?
Good night, guys. See you Thursday. Bye, Kel. Bye, Tim.